I'd like to read to you from Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 12. Luke 24, 1 through 12. Listen to these words for the confident hope that we share with the disciples. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb, taking the spices that they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were all perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified and on the third day rise again." Then they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and all of the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen cloths by themselves. And then he went home, wondering what had happened. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. It seems the disciples are a little puzzled here. Even Peter, who, though he heard that the Lord had risen, he went home still wondering what really had happened. Now, we know that's not the end of the story. But it is good to know that the disciples, too, had their challenges of faith. Sometimes when we have doubts, when we have questions, we feel like we're sort of living in sin or something. We feel like we are making an error. And yet, it's okay to honestly confess our challenges, those things which cause us to take a second look. And it's good to realize that we're in good company. Even the Apostle Peter. And you know the rest of the story. When we get into the book of Acts, Peter's the one that stands up and preaches in the power and influence of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. We'll get to that. But he is not given up on because of his questions here. The Lord understands our questions, and the Lord understands our need for reassurance, for that happened with Peter time and again and with others, as you know. Hard after the events of the last few days to reckon what resurrection should look like. One church we served early on was a part of a small community in Northeast Texas where the churches cooperated. There were four United Methodist churches, and we had Holy Week services together. We'd have the sunrise service at 1. We'd have a Monday-Thursday service and a Good Friday service, and also earlier in the week a Palm Sunday service. So we had one of those at each of the churches. In the first year that I served there, it fell our lot to host the Good Friday service at Oak Park. And so we planned for that. We got everything ready. The place was beautifully arranged and all ready for company. And that day about noon on Friday, as you might guess, our Easter lilies were delivered for the Sunday service. Well, that didn't quite fit with the dark message of the Tenebrae service and talking about crucifixion. We kind of wanted to postpone the joy of Easter until Easter. And so we opened up one of the back Sunday school rooms. The florist had told us that we should keep the lights on and that would help the blossoms to open up. So we opened a room back there and filled it with probably 40 or 50 Easter lilies, left the light on, closed the door. Having everything set up for the evening service, we went home to rest for a while and come back later and host our brothers and sisters from all across town. We opened the front doors of the church that night, there for a service of darkness and crucifixion, there for a service of tenebrae on Good Friday. And when we opened the front doors of the church just burst with the aroma of Easter lilies. Unmistakable. It was a sign of hope, even in the midst of darkness. That's what we have at Easter. Our world can be a pretty dark place, and it's been a dark place this week. If you're talking about real darkness, I suppose that somewhere on the planet it is dark. It is always dark. At any given time, someplace on the planet is dark. And it seems that that is so with our news, too. That there are those places of darkness, sometimes all too close to home. And sometimes the darkness of Good Friday can overwhelm us. Yet we know that the Lord Himself was destined by His own choosing and calling to go through that darkness. That day when even the sun refused to shine in the middle of an afternoon while Jesus was on the cross. And yet, even that dark setting, even that dark scene was not overwhelmed by the light of Christ and the hope of resurrection. And no matter how dark our world can be in particular occasions and at particular times, like during a presidential race, my goodness, I'm weary of it. The bickering. It's not the way I remember other elections being. Maybe I've just grown up a bit and understand it better. But it has its dark moments. Maybe not terror moments, but who knows. We have dark moments in our life together, in our life in the world. And yet, no matter how dark that darkness gets, it will not overwhelm the light of Christ, the light of the world. That is good news. The darkness, all the darkness of the world, all the darkness of Good Friday cannot overcome the light of one spark, one candle, one resurrection moment. I have a friend named Brad, who has just received a new heart. It's a couple of months old now. But it's amazing what can happen these days and how a human heart can be replaced by another. One that has been donated by someone who is going to no longer need it. It's not magic. It's transformation. And when we talk about our hearts, we don't just talk about the organ that beats inside us. We talk about our spirit, our inner conscience, our will, our place of center of love and care. When we talk about our heart, we're not just talking about blood and organs. We're talking about our purpose and our calling. Where does your heart beat? Perhaps we all need a heart transplant in that sense. We all need a heart transplant because our hearts at times and many times are broken. We need to find those moments to take our breath away and that get our attention when wonderful things happen. But mostly, we need to search for God's heart, the heart of our Lord, and let God's heart be beating within us. Not pumping blood, but pumping energy and spirit and life. God's heart is stronger than our heart, you see. Let us adopt God's beating and bleeding heart. And let us recognize that the greatest gift of sacrifice that broke God's heart and broke it for a reason, for you and for me. It's like the aroma of Easter. Even from the back of the church, you can smell these lilies. It's like the rhythm of a beating heart, which stops beating for you and for me. You cannot ignore it. We have seen this during our week of Holy Week and the services that we have shared. But when Jesus' heart stops for you and for me, it is also resurrected with the hope of life. And we can adopt that resurrection to new life as well. Jesus calls us into that same resurrection. My friend Brad posted a picture earlier this week. He'd gone back to the doctor for a checkup. And the doctor showed him his old heart. He posted a picture of himself holding this old heart. It was dry and broken and brittle. And yet, his own spirit alive, his own face and smile alive because of the new heart that was beating inside him. Let us take God's heart within us. It is not a heart that leads to death. It is the heart that leads us beyond death. And when we give ourselves, we get so much more back. Jesus has provided the way. And I invite you to know that Jesus' death is not the end. Jesus was resurrected with new life and new hope. And He calls us into that same resurrection. If today's the day for you to seek this Christ, this Holy One of God, then I invite you to come as we sing this invitation hymn after communion. And if you need this kind of a heart transplant, come and claim and profess your faith. Let's talk about it. The gifts on the table are the gift of Christ for each of us. It is the body and blood of Jesus Christ for the redemption and of the world. It is the gift of Christ's very heart beating and available to beat inside of you and inside of me. Let us line up and prepare to receive.